Welcome, everyone, to Heroes of Gaming, the podcast channel that talks with the people who make the games we love. This week, our heroes are two magnificent minds from the top of the chain of Spin Rack, the incredible comic book and video game Web3 community that is joining the world together through a variety of independently created entertainment and securing it with the latest in tech protection. Some of the big contributors already attached are Chuck Dixon and Graham Nolan, with over 15 new IPs coming out for fans exclusively on Spin Rack. Today, the Heroes of Gaming podcast is proud to welcome the Chief Executive Officer, Melissa McGinnis, and the Chief Visionary Officer, Jeff Pierce. Thank you both for being here.
What is Spin Rack and what's it about?
Spin Rack is a gaming and entertainment corporation that is centered around a community-driven network economy based on comic books from legendary creators Chuck Dixon and Graham Nolan. So that's a lot for people to process. Even after I say that, oftentimes they don't know what Spin Rack really is.
Right.
So basically, we have a bunch of incredible IPs from Chuck Dixon and Graham Nolan. If you guys don't know them, please look them up on Wikipedia. They have their own Wikipedia pages.
Very nice.
But they have been creating comic book content for years, legendary characters. You might know one of their characters, Bane, the villain from Batman.
Oh, yeah. And if you guys don't know that, then come on. I mean, let's get real. That's an incredible addition to the DC pantheon of villains, right, and heroes. That's great.
Right. So we are so fortunate that we have a bunch of their IPs that aren't being used by these huge companies. So we are fortunate enough to have, I think 18 of their, wow, IPs already assigned to Spin Rack. So we're really, I guess you'd call us at our core, we're an IP company. Yeah. But what we're doing with this company is we're turning these IPs into new ways for people to consume the content. And we like to call it Comics 3.0. Because we're utilizing all these really cool, new, incredible tools and technology that exist out there. And some of the terms are a little scary for people that aren't used to new technology. But Jeff, you know, being our Chief Visionary Officer, has always been at the forefront of new technologies and creating things that are bringing entertainment into this future. He's always seems to be many years ahead of the curve, right?
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. I think this is a nice segue into Jeff. Jeff, could you maybe describe some of these things that Melissa is talking about? Comics, video games, I mean, the whole gamut of future-proofing your stuff?
The long and the short of it is that I think that we've been on a quest to reach the holodeck from Star Trek.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The ultimate immersive experience and community participation capability. And so the technologies that have been becoming available to us through the blockchain and as we're referring to it, Web3, are opening some of those doors to us. For the first time in our existence, that the ancillary technologies necessary to make these available to us in real time are finally in place. I mean, back in the 90s when we were using, you know, early 90s token ring networking technologies, there was no fiber channel. There was no huge, you know, massive storage capabilities. There wasn't really cloud storage or any type of decentralized access to processing or, you know, storage or transactions or any of that kind of stuff.
Right.
These technologies, both software and hardware, have advanced to a point where we're able to put these things together now to create the ability to communicate and work together and transact with each other on a global scale instantaneously. And so these exciting developments give us the opportunity to reach into the creative capabilities of and skill sets of people like Chuck Dixon and Graham Nolan and our entire team and our extended team as we build this community to, you know, to take us where sometimes we can't, you know, get on our own. You know, we can collaboratively get to entertainment and really knowledge expansion at a level we never have before. So we're excited to, you know, to use these technologies that exist and to push the frontiers of technology forward while we use our imaginations together to, you know, to just make our time here that much more enjoyable.
As beautifully said, Jeff, as beautifully said, it's very exciting that the vision matches the technology finally, and we can actually go to these places. Melissa, if I could ask you a question about the community that Jeff is referring to, are these all comic creators? Are they all video game creators? I mean, who's invited to this place?
You know, this is what's really interesting. We started because Chuck Dixon and Grant Nolan have such a beautiful fan base. I just have to shout out to all their fans that have already signed up on our website.
Very nice.
When you sign up on our website, there's a thing on there. You put your name and your email in. And then we have a question. We ask, why do you want to join SpinRack? The future of the internet, and as I understand it from what Jeff has been explaining, the difference between Web 1, Web 2, and what they're calling Web 3 now, is Web 3 now is really, it's community driven, but you have a lot more tools to your access. You know, I'm an old school girl. I grew up on a farm, right?
Wow, that's amazing.
Raising, you know, a horse ranch and cattle ranch. So I'm used to knowing my neighbors. I'm used to if something breaks down, you're calling on your neighbors. And we have this incredible tool called the internet now, where we really want to build this community where we're saying, hey, we have this incredible engine and you get to be a part of it. And how you want to interact, we're going to have a menu of things of how you want to interact within the community. But choose how you want to interact and be a part of it, you know?
Wow, how beautiful. That's so wonderful because you've got a community of both fans, creators, and even people who are interested in the field, all welcome to the thing. And yeah, no trolls. Yeah, those guys can kick it to the curb. You know, it's a positive environment.
For sure. And you know, I think at the basis of SpinRack and our team is story. Right? We're all storytellers. We all come from entertainment. We all have participated in either television or film or games or in somehow telling stories. And we recognize that our community, they're in their own right storytellers. Their story is being written, you know, in life. And in this case, we're opening the door to extend that story and participate in a collective story in Web3.
That type of inclusion and invitation to all races, creeds, genders. I think that's so wonderful that you guys are so inclusive with all of this. Recently, Lance Reddick passed away, and he was honored in a game called Destiny 2. All the video gamers got together, thousands upon thousands, and they actually had an online funeral for him in the community. So this,
oh, wow.
It's a really just a testament to exactly what you all are saying, exactly what you all are doing, you know, Jeff, with the vision, the future vision. Yeah, the video gamers and the comic book fans, they're all collected. They're all a family on their own. And if they had a place to go to where they could have original content, where they can absorb their own stuff and then be a part of this community, where they can give feedback to all of you to just enhance it and make it better. Boy, what a great place. I wanted to try to dive into a few additional questions about SpinRack. Having the original comic book IPs kind of starting from that ground up with that fan base, moving into video games, what is your plan of integration? How are you going to integrate those two environments?
Well, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head with that question, because this is probably one of our bigger challenges, because we're trying to meld several audience segments together. And it's good, the feedback that I've been seeing from the people that have signed up, that there's a lot of crossover here. So in order to in order to bring these audiences together, I mean, we really have to rely on community, but we're starting out with our mobile game.
Fantastic.
So it's a match three game. We started out simple because we really want to whet their appetite, the people that don't know about comic books. So what's different in our match three game versus other match three games out there is once you complete certain levels, is you'll have panels of comic books in there. So we're starting out with three of our top comic book IPs, Joe Frankenstein, My Sister Suprema, and Law Dog. Law Dog's my favorite because Lena's a badass in it.
Yeah, she's incredible. I'm already a big fan of Law Dog.
There it is. Yeah. So I think the really interesting intersection here is character, right? That's what drives the gaming experience. You know, there's story, but then there's the next level down is character. And that's really what's linking the gaming and the IP together is that you're getting to experience game challenges and build game skills while interacting with the characters from within the story.
How fun, how exciting. And it's the idea of real-time leveling up in real life. Is also, you know, that gets my gamer bone, you know? I mean, like, I'm like, ooh, that's exciting, you know? Unlock rewards and all that stuff. It's super fun. And, you know, a match three game, I mean, that's how Game Boy started. Game Boy came with Tetris. You know, that's the whole thing.
Right.
So there's nothing wrong with that. That's fantastic.
I can show you my old school gaming console I do have in the house right now that has, Galaga, Pac-Man, Donkey Kong.
Nice, you know? Yeah. That's a DK barrel behind me. So you get a bunch of credits for that. That's fantastic. The kind of 800-pound gorilla in the room, right? Is the idea that you've got big competition. Are these big comic book companies really competition to you all, or is it more kind of helping the community find you all?
I mean, Jeff, if you want to field this, you can, but I would say 100% we always consider them competition, but we also can consider ourselves an opportunity for acquisition in the future. But then the question becomes, do we want to be acquired? Because we're building a community that we are the shepherds of, that we want to make sure doesn't fall into this realm of homogenized content where you're getting the same stuff over and over again. And I think that's what I hear a lot from Chuck and Graham's audiences that have been signing up on our website is they love them because their IP and their stories and even the novels that Chuck's been writing are so character and story driven. They're not what you get in mainstream. So I think maybe to answer your question on this matter, we're carving out a niche here.
I think I'll take a different tact on the concept of competition in the world of Web3, right? As we move away from siloed access to content, to community driven content, we move away from traditional practices like consumer or customer relationship management. And as we move into Web3, which is transactional and ownership based, we move more to something like ownership resource management. Because as a community member that contributes to ongoing community developed enterprise or products, people will have the opportunity to take a stake in that development. And so where we may have heard in the news, you know, some people relating to comments out of the WEF that you'll own nothing and be happy, I tend to believe that it's exactly the opposite.
Right.
You know, as NFTs and blockchain develop in Web3 and throughout the community, I think you're going to have an opportunity to own a piece of everything. And be much happier, right? Because you're going to drive value, and the more value you drive within the community, the more reward that you'll see.
That's fascinating. That's like You know, if you go to Marvel or DC or even Image Comics or Valiant or any of these folks, you say a comment or you try to toss out an idea, you're just a drop in an endless ocean of already pre-existing things that are just blocked off like a wall. This is an open community. This is accepting to not only creators but also fans. So your voice is heard. I mean, it's a fantastic opportunity for growth. It's great, Jeff. Well, and Melissa, what you both are saying is great.
So competition is different in the developing future of Web 3. The internet was a democratization of information in the early days, and we're starting to really see how that's playing out in Web 3. The playing field has been leveled to some extent, but now it's really a matter of community. We've seen how success in online has been community driven. When you've found a community and you've communicated well to them and you've serviced them, then you've seen some level of success. Although that's been traditionally modeled within the corporate structure, those structures are starting to mold into something that's participatory on a very different level.
You're absolutely right. You know, even just look at some of these big swooping changes, like with the Sonic feature film that came out. The community just said, no, you better not release this unless you fix his eyes. And everybody got behind it. Even the GameStop situation with all the with the craziness that happened in the stock market. You know, these communities really can make these corporations shudder. So starting a company that is inclusive from the ground up, having the community in mind is really a really, really wonderful thing.
Well, when they're stakeholders and they're owners to some extent in the process of invitation across the board, right? Come with me.
Yeah.
Come experience this with me. Let's talk more about this. Let's create the best experience possible through input and have an opportunity to participate in the rewards through digital assets. It just becomes a bigger, better experience across the board.
This is exciting. This is fantastic. And one of the cool things about SpinRack, because I do think that it is a concern as a creator, as someone who participates and whose voice is heard, how do you protect it? How are you sure that it doesn't get copied, or how do you protect from all this artificial intelligence mining, all this other stuff? Do you all have protections in place or any type of software that can shield you all from this?
One of the things that SpinRack has done is partner and participate with a really cool company that Jeff is involved with as well. And like you said, Jeff is our, like, I don't know if you guys, Wizard of Oz, the guy behind the curtain.
Sure,
Jeff,
yeah.
Jeff is kind of like that guy. So he's got this kind of Wizard of Oz thing going in that realm. So Jeff?
Well, there's a little history here, right? So I entered the movie film business at a time when the industry was shifting from analog to digital, and so that was in the late 70s, early 80s. Yes, I'm old, but even back then, we knew that at some point, assets would become digital, and we would have to protect them. So a number of years ago, 2016, 2017, we decided to take a real strong look at digital asset protection and anti-piracy. The kind of the foundational concept there is copyright law. You can't necessarily assume that just because you've copyrighted something that you're gonna be protected from counterfeiting. So we wanted to find a way to give creators and content owners a way to prove provenance of a digital asset. And so the question has always been, well, it's a digital copy. How do you know what is the original file? How do you know if it's an original or it's a copy? So we started out to develop software that can prove that. And so in November of last year, the Patent Office granted us a new category of cybersecurity technology that we call dynamic data injection. And it's a watermark on steroids, if you
That's
will.
Fantastic. That's fantastic.
And we'll go into, you know, the super technical aspects of how it works, but and some of this is geeky, so sorry.
You're on the right channel for that, that's for sure.
But essentially, this is a dynamically generated moment-in-time encryption technology that lives with the digital asset. So we are able to prove that a digital asset is the original at the moment of creation. And we're able to take that information and transfer that along the life of the file and prove that the file is either the original instance of the creation or a copy thereof.
Wow.
And we can attach to that then ownership, authentication, authorization, all kinds of mechanisms that allow us to provide information about how that asset or that digital instance is handled.
Wow.
So it's, it's next level.
That's next level protection. That's terrific. I mean, in this day and age with all the artificial intelligence, and all the people copying everything, that's the type of security you need.
Next level in that not only can we, when we inject into the file specific information, we can also inject information that will confuse AI training. So in one sense, if you try to use somebody's asset to train an AI, let's say you have a digital asset of something original that, you know, in this case, we'll just use the Mona Lisa as an example. When AI looks at, you know, at a classic, as a classic painting, and it wants to use the Mona Lisa as its reference, when the AI looks at it, it'll think it's a Chevy Nova. it'll just completely confuse
it. Yeah, so.
So, you know, we know that AI and these things like OpenAI or ChatGPT and these different AI technologies that are changing the landscape of creativity and how we program, how we interact with other softwares, how we derive language, all of these things are just beginning to have a major influence on our ability to interact with and comprehend what is skill and what is participation, right? And so we give people the opportunity to differentiate between what is something that is created or something that is derived.
And so to your point, Vladimir, we are going to be using this technology with our, which, you know, you can call them NFTs, but I prefer to call them utility-based digital assets, because all of our NFTs will have a utility that benefits the purchaser. For instance, if you get one of our early NFTs that are dropping with our mobile game, then you will also get a discount code that you can utilize within your mobile game.
Oh, wow.
So you'll get the artwork and you'll get your code, but it'll also be dynamically digitally injected with this cool technology that provides your proof of ownership, your proof of provenance. And the other thing that Jeff left out in this is that what happens if the chain breaks down?
Great question.
Right?
Yeah.
It's recoverable because of this technology.
Wow.
So you don't ever just lose your money. Like, you don't lose it. It's like,
yeah,
you can prove that you've got it and you can recover it.
Oh, wow. So it's not only layers of protection, it's also layers of safety. This is great. This is terrific. Wow. And so and having all this technology, all this advanced level protections, is it going to be confusing for people to sign up for SpinRack? Is there any customer service? Is it easy for someone like you and me to just hop on and sign up or to be a part of the community?
You know, the great place where we're at is we are at the beginning. So everybody that's here now is getting in at the beginning. So my first suggestion is for you to go to www.spinrack.io and sign up on our website with your name, email, and why you want to join SpinRack. Tell us why you're interested. If you have any really cool skills that you want to contribute to the community, if you want to be a community leader, because we're still looking for community leaders on our Discord channel, people that, you know, that have like really high skill sets that want to take that kind of leadership role on. We're open to all of that. But what you get, let me just see if I can get my phone to cooperate. You'll get a really cool screensaver for your phone. It's from Joe Frankenstein.
Oh, wow. Remember, that is so cool. No, that's okay. That's great. That was a good preview. Ooh, that's very cool.
The other thing that we will have out is our Discord channel. You can always join us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook.
Wow. Okay. So we're available everywhere.
Yeah. And we're on Instagram. We're just starting to spin up. So.
Okay. Okay. That's terrific.
So we're very new. So please join. Say hi. Give us your thoughts. And then really here in a few weeks, you'll be able to download the game. Maybe less than a few weeks. We're kind of keeping the date a little bit hush-hush here. So if you really want to know the exact date, sign up on the website and then you'll get a notice.
Very nice. Very nice. That's a very good enticement because I want to know the dates of those games. I want to play them when they come out. So that's very exciting. And when is the official launch? Is it already launched? Is it going to launch? When is the official launch of SpinRack?
When you purchase one of our digital assets, you will become part of the Heroes Club. So the Heroes Club is the two main characters of each story, Joe Frankenstein, Lada, My Sister Suprema. So if you get one of those digital assets, you'll get your discount code, and then you'll get special access to the Hero Club that we're creating in the metaverse. So we have yet to touch on actually the vision of the metaverse yet, which is what we should talk about sometime soon.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, man, I'm very excited for that.
Well, I think that one of the really interesting things about what we're doing in the metaverse comes from your fave Law Dog there.
Yeah.
Right? So Law Dog is an interdimensional bounty hunter, right? So that should give you a clue to how our IPs will work in the metaverse, right? You will be able to jump between these worlds as an interdimensional synthespian.
Wow. That's it gives me goosebumps how cool that is. That is fantastic. And when you do sign up for SpinRack, why do you want to? So I kind of would like to pose that to you all.
Because everything that you do, especially if you're early access people, you're going to earn points and rewards. And we don't just like say you earn 3,000 points by playing our mobile game. That just doesn't die in the mobile game. It carries on to the next phase of what we're building. And everything that we're building, all these different games that we're doing, as we're leading up to building that metaverse, as we're creating all of our digital assets and all of our IPs that we will use within the metaverse, these all become useful tools that once that metaverse is built, it will either earn you rewards or it'll be something like Like, say you participated in our WeFunder campaign and you bought a higher level where you got yourself as a character, you can skin your own synthespian of yourself to jump between those worlds. Like, there's going to be some really cool opportunities that come up, which it's just best to participate early.
Yeah.
Because the rewards are going to grow as you participate.
Yeah, early and often. Early and often. Okay, cool. And I guess as a follow-up to this, as a personal thing, if you weren't the CEO of SpinRec, and if you were just a fan, you came across it, you put in your email, and it said this question: why do you want to join? What would you put there?
I'll let Jeff go first on this.
Yeah,
one.
Jeff, why don't you answer that one?
So if I wasn't involved and I was just coming across SpinRec for the first time and it asked me, why do I want to be involved? I would say because I have something to contribute, because I'm a storyteller, right? And collaboration is key in my life. I want to collaborate. I want to find serendipity. I want to capture lightning in a bottle that can only come from an endeavor with others.
Wow. Beautiful. Beautiful. That's a hard act to follow, Melissa. That's a hard act to follow. But
that's
no pressure.
That's where I'm going to go first, mic drop.
Yeah, exactly. And what would you say, Melissa?
You know, for me, if I wasn't involved in SpinRec and I came across it, you know, I'm really curious about how all these new technologies and everything work. I think that's why I'm probably the CEO of SpinRec. I mean, my whole life, I've always been curious how things were built and how things work. And with this community and this openness, you get to see the inner workings. You get to see how things are built and how they're being put together and how the minds come together. And, you know, I'm not the technical genius that Jeff is. I'm a good person to put things together and to run things and that, but I am not these technical geniuses that we have on our team. But to be a part, I think somebody really smart once told me, always surround yourself with people that are smarter than you.
Good quote. Yes, very good quote. Very good quote.
I guess on the flip side of the flip side of the coin for me is that I would just be looking for, you know, that comic book store where I could hang out and spin the rack and find a comic that I can just, you know, fall into the story. You know, I mean, that's what's missing. That's what we're losing, is that place where you can, you know, on a Saturday morning, you know, grab a coffee or a donut and go to the, you know, go to the comic book store and hang out with your friends and talk about, you know, where you think a story could go or should go, or, you know, why one character is not living up to a potential in the story,
right,
or is just completely awesome, right? SpinRec's that place.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point. I mean, the whole reason why I've ever been involved in the entertainment industry for the past 20 years is story and characters and being able to tell things in a new and interesting way, or in a way that really gets people talking, like irritates them even, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Shakes things up, right? Shakes things up.
Shake it up.
What a fantastic sentiment to end on. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so much, Melissa. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Thank you, Vladimir.
Thanks, Vladimir.